We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Did everyone get to make it out at least once this week? I know many people that pretty much, I mean, every night it's like people just crowded the altars and were pressing in for the things of God and were being filled and impacted by the Holy Spirit. And so it was just totally awesome to see how hungry everyone is. Glad to have all of you back with us this morning. And today's going to be a great day. And yeah, what an awesome day yesterday. 21 people that came out to go soul winning. I mean, that was just fantastic to see so many people that wanted to come out and tell everyone that they possibly could about their faith. And I mean, we weren't, you know, by the time training class got over and we actually got over to where we were going, I think we probably only had about 40, 45 minutes. And so, you know, and a lot of people going out for their first time to tell people about Jesus. And actually, Edgar told me there was one more that they had led to the Lord. So it put our total of 34 people that got saved. And so, I mean, 34 people getting saved in such a short amount of time, I mean, it's just awesome. You know, many people... I've heard many even ministers say that they're waiting for a move of God, that they're like, that they're praying for people to get saved, that they're waiting for the Lord to move, to, you know, stir something so that people will start praying to receive Jesus. But we're actually told to go out into the world and compel the lost to come in. Amen? You know, it doesn't say like, you know, sit at home and sit in your pews and hope that they come in. I mean, there's a time for praying for the lost, which we do that, and interceding for the lost to get saved, and we totally believe in that. But if all you ever do is pray and intercede and no one ever goes to tell them, how are they going to get saved? The Bible says that there must be a preacher to go out and tell them. How will they be able to call on the Lord unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone goes and tells them? Amen? So we had 21 people yesterday that came. And I know there was probably more people that even wanted to come but were working yesterday. But so 21 people that were able to come out and say, I'm going to be that person to go and tell somebody. And look, maybe you're here and you're believing for your family members to get saved, or you have, you know, loved ones or friends or colleagues that you're believing for to get saved. And maybe you even personally tried to minister to them before, and you're thinking like, man, you know, they didn't get saved through me. Well, the best thing that you can do, if you want to see your family get saved and you've tried to lead them to the Lord, but they haven't, you know, responded to the message of the gospel, is go out there and start seeing other people get saved. Continue praying for your family. Continue believing that the Lord's going to touch them. And then pray that even the Bible says that we're to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers to go out and reap in this harvest. So you pray, Lord, I thank you that you're raising up a laborer to come in and reap the harvest of salvation in my family, to see my family get saved. And then, you know, everything in the kingdom of God is sowing. And so as you're going out and you're sowing the word, you reap the harvest, but then you're going to also reap the harvest with your own family. So as you're faithful to go out and see somebody else's brother saved, somebody else's mother saved, somebody else's neighbor saved, somebody else's colleague saved, as you're faithful to do that, don't you think the Lord is going to see that you're being faithful with his word and that he's going to bring somebody to your family to see that your family gets saved? Too many people, they just give up and they stop trying. But I want to tell you that if you'll just persist, and we're going to have Evangelist Yana come back up and share this morning, but the message that I'm going to be talking to you about a little later is about if you'll just persist, if you'll move forward, if you'll do whatever you can to see the kingdom of God advance in your life and in the lives of those around you, God will reward you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and his kingdom. As you put his kingdom first, then he will add these things to you. You know, that's the thing right there is, as you put him first, as you put his kingdom first, then I will give you all these things that you need. Maybe you need your family to get saved. Maybe you need your spouse to get saved. If when you start putting God's kingdom first and you fall in love with Jesus, it's impossible not to tell somebody else about Jesus when you really fall in love with Jesus. It's impossible. Unless religion throws a wet blanket on you. You know, I mean, when I was a teenager and I got, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, man, I was crazy. I was radical. I wanted to tell everyone that I possibly could about Jesus. And there was people in the church that I went to that had attended for years and years and years and perhaps never led anybody to the Lord, perhaps never even told anybody to come to church, perhaps never told anyone about the gospel. And they say, well, you're just young and you're just zealous, but that'll die down. Wait till you get a little older, you know, you'll calm down. Why would you tell somebody that? Why? What's the motivation for throwing a wet blanket on somebody's motivation to go out and preach the gospel? Wouldn't you say, praise the Lord, you're so stirred up for the Lord? That's motivating me to want to go out and share the gospel with somebody. But religion, it always tries to stop what God's doing. So, you know, it's so awesome to be part of a church where 21 people are saying, hey, Saturday morning, 11 a.m., after a week of Encounter Conference, night after night, 7 p.m., coming all week long, and then saying, you know what? That's not enough. I'm going to take what I've received now, even though I could sleep in, even though I could go out and trim the bushes, even though I could, you know, work on my suntan. No, I'm going to go out and put the kingdom of God first. And God is a rewarder of those people that will put his kingdom first. Amen? So as the pastor of the church here, I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm so excited and so happy that we've had, you know, such an awesome week, so many lives touched and changed. But to be honest, it's not enough. We need more. We need to keep pressing in. We need to keep moving forward. So with that being said, I'm excited to have, for the last time this trip, Evangelist Yana Pauls come and share the gospel with us this morning. I believe she'll be back with us this October. So it's been such a great week having you here with us, sharing the gospel with everyone. Where are you off to next?
And then Europe.
Europe, and then who knows? She's like, you know, like, what's the scripture where it says, like, those that are filled with the Spirit of God are like the wind. They come here, they go there, you know. I mean, that's Yana. You can't keep up with her, but she's out there sharing the gospel with people all the time. So make sure you're partnering up with her ministry. You can, you know, even partner with her financially, yanapauls.com. You're sowing into someone's life when you sow seed into her ministry that's putting the gospel first. So make sure that you're doing that. Of course, as the church, we're corporately going to bless her as well. But if you want to on an individual basis, you know, as you've been blessed by her ministry this whole week, make sure that you're partnering with her and linking up with her, praying for her, and believing for increase for her, and then actually sowing into her ministry as well. But we just want to thank you so much for being here this week and for ministering and imparting to everyone the gift that's inside of you. So without further ado, Evangelist Yana Pauls.
Thank you so much. I love you, pastors. I really do. I was going to ask if I can say a couple of things about October. I'm going to be back in October, and that's already, you know, set. And I'm definitely going to do some more extensive teaching on evangelism, because it's very hard to really teach people in one session all the different things and dynamics and practicalities as well about it, which there's a lot of those. You know, how do you do a whole group of people? How do you do bigger, you know, altar calls? And I believe some of you, you know, the Lord has put some things on your heart concerning reaching people. You know, the young people can reach their schools, you know, high schools, universities. Then there's also elderly homes and things like that, you know. So I've done all of those things. And so I definitely want to impart some more wisdom there and also practical training. You will be able to sign up for that. That is going to be something that's going to go over multiple days within 2 weeks, probably like three or 2 days each week of about 3 hours teaching each time. So I'm really going to try to give you like the whole deal, because I have like 2 weeks worth of teaching, like 3-4 hours every day just on evangelism. And I've taught it in Bible school. I trained thousands of people, actually, how to win souls. It's really crazy, you know, all over the world. So that's going to be one of my focuses. And then also I'm going to teach about just finding your place in the local body of the church, which is a ministry. The Ministry of Helps is a ministry given by God to the church. And I'm going to be sharing a lot about the spiritual significance, you know, because sometimes you think, okay, well, I'm an usher and I hand out some envelopes, you know, how is that a very anointed, you know, thing? But I'm going to be telling you exactly why that is actually significant and how it can help you in stepping it up spiritually. Because I know for a matter of fact, when I was in Bible school, that through all the ministries of helps that I did, which is more than one, it was, I think, every department except worship, because I'm not very gifted musically. So, but I got my hands in literally every department. I mean, if there needed to be somebody, you know, filled in for, then that was me. Even though, like, I don't do kids much, but if there was somebody missing and they needed somebody last minute, I would just go for it and I would just do it. And that actually helped me to launch in the ministry. Which a lot of people don't know that side of the story, but that's what I'm going to be sharing on a little bit more as well. So that's going to be another separate course in addition to the soul winning. So there's going to be a whole lot going on in those 2 weeks in October. So just plan ahead for that, you know, don't make any other plans, and sign up for those things, because it's going to be changing your life. Amen. Amen. So today I'm going to be talking about eternal impact. And one of the words that Pastor Jeremiah already said was to be steadfast and persistent. Actually, you said persistent, right? Okay. So I'm going to be reading a scripture that you might think, well, what does that have to do with soul winning? With giving. Soul winning is a form of giving as well. You know, you give Jesus to people. You give the word of God to people. And we are called to be givers in general. We are called to give. We are called to be like God. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Imitate God as children imitate their father. And so God is a major giver. God is a generous God. He's a giving God. And if you want to be like him, you need to be giving. You need to be a giver. You need to be generous. You can never be attached to things. And this is something I talked about even this past week, that we cannot be attached to worldly things, because it's very important to be attached to heaven. So let's read 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Say deathless and everlasting. Everything in this world is going to pass away. Everything. Everything is going to come to an end. And we can bring nothing with us from this world to heaven. Absolutely zero. The only thing that we can take with us to heaven is souls, because souls are eternal. That is an eternal treasure. It has eternal value. Souls will never pass away. And they either go to heaven or hell, but they're going to be forever in one of these two destinations. And so this is one thing that we get distracted from because of the things of the world. And this is why giving is so important and significant, and not just to give here and there, but to be steadfast and persistent in your giving, because we know everything that we give into the hands of God, which is what we do when we bring an offering to the church, is going to be deathless and everlasting. Because we have to take our eyes off of the things of the world. And as I was thinking about, how do you take your eyes off of your money? You take it, you put it in the offering bucket, and you don't see it anymore. It's the most practical way to take your eyes off of your money, okay? You give it to the Lord. It's gone. You know, let it go. Let it go. Very practical stuff. Very spiritual, right? Okay. It's liberating. It's a freeing thing. When you give what is carrying death and is temporal, when you give it to the Lord, it becomes deathless and everlasting. It's never lost. When we give something to the Lord, it is never lost. There's so many things in the world that people pay so much money for, and it's not everlasting. It is a temporal thing. And so many people have no problem doing that. But then when it comes to giving things into the kingdom of God, for some reason it's hard. And that's it should not be like that. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you have a Bible, we're going to read a whole passage here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Very serious, actually, section of scripture. But it really brings things into perspective. And what we're talking about is eternal impact and making eternal impact with our finances. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance." Verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned." 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" And it's very godly to give. It's one of the most godliest things that you can do is to give, especially sacrificially. Because that is what Jesus did. Verse 12, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things." Okay, this sounds crazy, right? We're looking forward to these things. You know, the earth will be on fire, heaven will be on fire, everything will be dissolved, everything will melt. And it says, "Therefore, we look forward to these things." And look at this. "Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you," verse 16, "as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures." One of the things that people twist the most is scriptures about giving, tithing, offering, sacrifice, because they don't want to separate from their stuff. And it says here, those are untaught, unstable people. And they twist things to their own destruction because they're robbing themselves of the blessing that they could have if they would just give their things and their finances into the hands of God. Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." We cannot fall away from steadfastness. Steadfastness. What does it mean to be steadfast? I always like to look up words, what it means. It means fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in purpose, resolution, faith, and attachment. Unwavering, faith and adherence, firmly established. Okay? So fixed in one purpose. But I love the part that said attachment. You attach yourself. When you're steadfast, you attach yourself to your purpose. And we need to attach our finances to kingdom purposes, because then they are, you know, deathless and everlasting. Because nothing we can do in this world, you know, that has no kingdom purposes is going to stand. It's not going to last. Everything is going to burn. It says all works are going to burn. And we all know, and nobody would argue this, even the religious, that giving is a good work. That giving is a blessing. That giving is absolutely godly. Nobody would argue that. But they argue about, you know, the principles and the direction in the Word of God when it comes to steadfast, continuous tithing and giving. Because people just like to do what they feel like, you know? But that's not steadfastness. That's the opposite of being steadfast and fixed on something. It's like in marriage. People fall out of love, lose all their love for the other person because things get rough, and then they get divorced. And that is not steadfast. That is not covenant. Covenant means that you stand on your word and you are true to what you committed yourself to, no matter what you feel like. No matter what you feel like. Could you imagine if God would get upset with us, he would just throw us all into hell. I'm done with these people. He did it once. Flooded the earth, killed everybody. He was like, I'm done with these people. But there was one, thank God, there was Noah that was steadfast, that put his eyes on God and did not conform to what everybody else was doing. And thank God, because of him, we're still here today. Amen. It takes a steadfast people. We have to start well and we have to finish strong, knowing that the day of the Lord is coming. And I know I want to be found blameless, not just in my faith, but also in my giving, in my good works, in my soul winning, in every area of life. That when the time comes and we're all going to be taken away, that I will be doing something pleasing unto the Lord. And that is a goal in every single area of life. And it said in verse 18 that we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is ultimately why we give, because he gave everything for us. And this is why I never have a problem giving him something that is precious to me, giving way out of my comfort zone, because my eyes are steadfastly fixed on Jesus Christ. Every time I come to a service, I come to a conference, I know I'm there ultimately for Jesus and for him to be glorified through me even more. And that's why we can never be attached to our worldly things, but we have to attach our heart, attach our purpose to Christ and Christ alone. Because in him, we will find the will of God for our life. In him, we will find our prosperity. In him, we will find the plan that God has for us. In him, you will find who you really are. In him. You know, and as I was thinking about attaching your finances to the kingdom of God and the purposes of God, really, what is amazing about that is that when you give your finances into the hands of God, God determines the prosperity of your life. But if you keep more for yourself, you determine the prosperity of your life. You determine in what level of financial wealth you're going to continue to live in until Christ comes back. And ultimately, what it comes down to is I don't care about actually my level of prosperity in my life. I don't care about what house I live in, what car I drive. I honestly do not care about that. But I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I put these things in the hands of God, that I will have a wonderful home. I will have a great car to drive so that it will glorify God. Not just for my comfort, but God wants our comfort and our blessing. But I know that when the focus switches to, I want this, I want that, no, to like, I don't need that, I don't need that, I don't need that. But once you show God that you're not attached to these things, that's when he can really give it to you. And we have to prove ourselves to him. And the word of God never changes. A couple of more things, but I think, you know, the message has been really clear. I'm going to close with this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's some really clear words here. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Here we have it again. The attachment to worldly things will lead you into destruction. And ultimately, those things will be lost. They will pass away. But when you put your eyes on the Lord and eternal things, and you actually sacrifice some of the things that you are attached to. And if you were not here this week, I was really challenging people to get rid of some things, to sell some things. You know, there's some things you can bring to the church physically. There's other things it's easier if you sell them, so then the church doesn't have to sell them. You know what I mean? But there's things that you need to give away. You need to give them away just to show the Lord that He means more to you than any of the things of the world. And then He can give you what you don't even, like, you don't even ask for it. There's so many times when I said to Lord, I would, you know, Lord, I would really like this. And then I gave something away that really meant something to me. And then God gave me even better than what I asked for. And that is the God whom we serve. And this is why we have to be steadfast in our giving. You have to fix your eyes, your giving, your life, your finances, everything in your life. Fix it and connect it to the kingdom of God. And it will become deathless and everlasting and a blessing that we look forward to when we come to heaven. I can't wait to get into my treasury. Because, you know, we have treasures laid up in heaven. So there's going to be like a big vault in my mansion in heaven. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to see how much wealth I gathered up while I was down here. And the time will come when you cannot lay up anything anymore for you in heaven. And there's going to be a lot of people that will arrive in heaven and their vaults are going to be empty. There's going to be nothing in there. Because all they did is to hold on to their salvation, and that was it. Because they were still connected to the things of the world. And this is why, you know, I challenge you, if you haven't brought a special offering today, bring one next week. Bring something, sell something, get rid of something. I know a lot of people don't challenge you to do that, but, you know, that's why the evangelist comes through to sometimes, you know, just, you know, ask you to do something crazy, you know, because that's not something we do all the time. But you have to come to a point where you say, hey, I haven't gone on another level recently. I haven't seen like supernatural increase recently. I haven't seen like some supernatural provision come in. Why? Because there's something you're holding on to. There's something in this world you're connected to. And when you give that up, then God can give you what you truly desire and what you couldn't even save up your money for. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. That your word tells us so clearly about eternity and the things that are ahead of us. And I pray right now that your people would really feel eternity in their hearts. That our eyes would continually be fixed on eternity and what is waiting for us in eternity. And that our life that will continue in heaven is forever. That there is no death, there is no end, and that we will be with you forever. But Lord, we will show you in this life how precious you are to us, how worthy you are, how wonderful you are. And Lord, we attach our heart to our giving. We attach our love to our giving, that everything that we could ever let go of here would show you how much we love you, how much we trust in you, and that we believe in you, that you are our God, our provider, El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. We thank you, Lord, that we never have to worry about finances. We never have to worry about tomorrow. Because you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You will never allow us to beg for bread because we are your children and we love you, Lord. We trust in you and we worship you today and every day with our giving in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, give God a mighty amen.
Let me read this scripture first, and I'll probably come back and read some more scriptures from this passage, but this is what's on my heart today. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. I press toward the goal, or I press toward the mark. He's pressing forward. He's pushing forward. He's not letting himself stop. He's saying, I will advance. There's a goal. There's a heavenly prize that I'm working towards, and I will stop at nothing to get it. There are things that will try to get in your way that will stop you from reaching the heavenly prize. And this is one of the things that I felt to share with you today. You know, we're coming out of an encounter week where many of you came night after night, or at least one or two or three of the nights, and you experienced the presence of God in a fantastic way, which is totally awesome. And you need that, and we need that, and we need that on a continual basis. But, you know, I've known, you know, since going to Bible school, and I'm sure that, you know, my wife can attest to this, that Brian, who went to Bible school with me, that Yana, who went through Bible school, you know, that many people that went to Bible school today are not even actually serving the Lord. Today that it's sad to say, but today that, you know, they went to a place, and, you know, at the Bible school, they're constantly having weeks like, you know, I mean, some people think like, you know, like we do a lot of meetings here, you know, sick every night, Sunday night through Friday night. Down there, they do morning service as well, and their services go way longer than ours do. You know, it's like starts at 7, and you might get out at 1 a.m. You might get out at 2 a.m. It starts at 10 a.m., and you might get out at 3 p.m. Every single day, Sunday to Sunday, you know? And so there's continual. They do that at least 4 times a year at their church, sometimes more if they're doing like extended meetings and stuff. And so I know people think maybe we're unusual for doing like a week of meetings, but honestly, guys, we're not even scratching the surface. Like, people are like, man, we really pressed in big this week because we went to church like 4 times or 5 times. Guys, we're not even like getting close, you know? And, but my point that I was making is that people go to a church like that in Tampa. They go to Bible school like that, best Bible school that I could recommend to anybody, where you have men and women of God preaching and teaching the gospel, people that have, you know, preached all around the world, people that have been raised up and just are totally awesome at sharing the gospel, and they'll sit there day after day, and then after leaving a place like that, it's sad. But today I know so many of them that, you know, it'd be one thing if they, you know, maybe were like, well, you know, ultimately I didn't really feel called to the gospel, but they're still serving the Lord. Hey, I'm okay with that, because you got to figure out what God's called you to do. But to go there and then not even be serving the Lord after it, how does that happen? You see, the devil wants to stop you. And so I know, coming out of a conference like this, we're all like, woohoo, praise God, we're stirred up, we're full of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that you are. But there's one direction that you can go with God. It's forward. There's only forward advancing. You can only go forward in the things of God. There's no coasting. People think that maybe we'll just, wow, that was like an intense week, but let's just chill now. We'll just kind of like take it easy or whatever. You can't take it easy with a things of God. Yes, we might not be coming to church every single night, you know, this coming week, but you can't back off your relationship with God. If you want to be a successful Christian, if you want to store up for yourself treasure in heaven, if you actually want to see God move in your life, and I know you do. 21 people showed up yesterday. I know that that means that this church has a group of hungry people that actually want to see God move and touch their lives. But you can't expect that you're going to continually advance. So you see, he was pressing toward the mark. You have to press towards it. But if you aren't continually moving forward, you'll find yourself moving backwards. It's the way it works. It's the way that it works. So maybe you came, you know, 3 nights out of the week. Maybe you came 5, 6 nights. Maybe you came 1 night or two. You know what? We need to be setting goals for ourselves, not to do less. Like, man, like, whoo, that was a lot. You know, maybe, you know, I'll just chill out from that. No, we need to be stirring ourselves up. How can I get more hungry for God? And actually, you know what? Let's just read it, because it's really going to help me, you know, explain what I'm sharing. Colossians, next chapter over. We were in the pop, now we're in the corn. Chapter 3. I know it was really lame of me to say that. I shouldn't have done it. Chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things of the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. Set and keep your minds on the thing above, on the things above. Keep your mind, keep your heart, keep your everything, your focus, your purpose set on things above. Look, I understand you come to a conference, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get touched, and then the next morning you're going back to work, which you're at work, you know, whatever your job is, maybe you don't feel like it's the most spiritual environment. But it doesn't matter what your spirit, what the environment is around you. They can't stop you from keeping your focus, from keeping your heart, from keeping your mindset on the kingdom of God. And Paul determined that I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to press towards the mark. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep moving forward, because he understood that if you were to, you know, back off, go on sabbatical, take leave, just go easy with it, you're going to move backwards. And I'm going to, you know, we were talking about this last night. We went out shopping. I love shopping. It's one of my favorite things to do. So we went out shopping last night, me and the ladies' night, you know, me went and the ladies, we went out shopping. Just, oh my gosh, fantastic. Anyway, we're coming back from shopping, and we were just talking about, you know, my experience a little bit with how, you know, I ended up in actually in ministry, and I think this may help you a little bit. And so, you know, from a young age, encountered God, was hungry for God to use me, wanted to see people's lives touched and changed. But, you know, for a long time, I actually thought and struggled with the idea that God could actually use me. And, you know, so I go to Bible school, and going through Bible school, I saw that the Lord could use me to go soul winning. And, I mean, it took me a little while to build up the courage to be able to do that. I remember sitting in the first soul winning training class that they taught in Bible school, and I thought, you actually think I'm going to go out and do that? You know, I remember thinking that as they're teaching the class, and at the end of the class, and then they're like, okay, we're all going out right now. And I'm like, hold on a second. I don't even have a change of clothes with me. This is what I was wearing. Shirt, tie, pants, dress pants, you know, dress shoes. You want me to go soul winning looking like a Jehovah's Witness or like a Mormon? Like, you want me to do, I mean, like, it's already, like, ridiculous. And now you want me to go out there looking like this? Like, I mean, this is 2000 and what was that, 2007? Wow, I'm getting old. All right, 2007, like, and you expect me to go out preaching the gospel in a parking lot looking like this? You know, I remember thinking how ridiculous it was, and that, like, God can't actually use me to do that. You know, thinking like, you know, I haven't, you know, this is, Bible school's just starting. I thought that you would train me for like 2-3 years, and then I would have the ability to go out. You know, we always think that, like, we need all this training, we need all this stuff from God to be able to actually be qualified to be used. You know, maybe, you know, and that's a lot of people's mindset, you know, even going into ministry, maybe, you know, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do this if you, you know, go serve at, like, you know, another church and, you know, do, you know, help out. And I did that for a season. Evangelist Yana did that for a season, helping out other churches and so on. But if you're like, you know, you went to Bible school, felt called to the ministry, and it's like 15, 20 years later, and you're like still waiting for the Lord to like impart to you the ability to do ministry, you just need a kick in the pants. You just need a kick in the behind and get out there. And so, So basically, that's what they give you when they tell you, okay, this is how you go soul winning. And you're like, wow, that's so cool, so wonderful. I'm so glad that you're telling me that. I've never heard that before. And then they give you in the pants, and they say, now actually go do it. And they actually expect you to go do that. They don't just expect you to. They give you no option. Right. They're like, no, by the end of this quarter, you have to have one. I forget what the, do you remember what the original? 10 a week or something, and you're like, 10 a week? I don't know somebody who's led 10 people to the Lord in my whole life. 100 people? Like, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, how do you expect us to do that? And I'm thinking like, no, first I need to be trained in the gospel. I need to learn how to preach every single, you know, scripture, and I got to memorize all these verses, and I got to, you know, work on my godly character, and I got to be all that before I can actually go out and tell someone the gospel. And so, you know, I didn't think that God could use me, and then God surprised me. because he actually did. Once I stopped caring about myself and stopped thinking about how ridiculous I was, when I actually started just like, okay, just do what they tell you to do, read the script, people started praying with me. And many of you yesterday that came out probably found out the same thing. Huh, this is actually pretty easy. Huh, this actually isn't that complicated. I'm going to read the gospel to people and people pray with me. And that's what happens. And so in Bible school, I knew that, you know, the Lord could use me, little old me, little nobody from Waterport, New York, that could actually share the gospel with people and people would actually listen. And I say that because sometimes that's how people think. You know, I'm just little old me, you know, I didn't grow up, you know, very successful, you know, I never esteemed myself to go far in life or do much, or, you know, I just have this little job that I work and I'm content to just come home and do my thing. And you don't actually think that God wants to use you. But he does. He doesn't just want to use people that feel called to the ministry. He needs to use each and every single one of us. And so, all right, so I'm like, all right, well, the Lord can use me to go soul winning. So I started doing that. And then, you know, in Bible school, it was a lot of training, but we didn't actually do much preaching. You know, we were being imparted to, but I don't think I ever preached in a church. I mean, they asked me when I was in my third year to teach one class in second year to the second year students, because like all the pastors were gone on like a retreat or something like that. So they're like, hey bro, fill in for me. Okay, sure. And I really enjoyed it, but I still didn't, you know, I didn't pray for anybody. There's no altar call. You're just teaching, you know, like a Bible lesson. And I'm like, well, I can, you know, I think I could handle that. You know, the teacher gave me his notes, you know, and I, you know, you can't, they made it like as easy as they possibly could for me. But I still didn't really, you know that the Lord could use me. And so after I graduate from my third year of Bible school, I just wanted, you know, this is when I went through that time where I wanted to just, you know, my goal actually at the time was to become a pastor on staff there, like an associate pastor, and to be able to help out. And that for me was like the ultimate, like, wow, you know, only the best of the best were being selected to, you know, be put on the ministry staff there in the pastoral department. And that's what I thought, man, I would just love to do that. And so, you know, here I am after I graduate Bible school and I'm just being faithful to help out in the ministry there, and I'm serving and like helping out however I can, volunteering my time. But then I ended up, you know, I wasn't really employed. So I was like, well, I'm running out of money. I have to get money from somewhere. So I got myself a job and I just started working. And then I realized that, you know, here I am living in Tampa, Florida with a call of God on my life. I've been trained in Bible school. I know what I'm supposed to do, but here I am pretty much spending the majority of my time just working and not really actually doing much for God. You know, I mean, I couldn't really be as involved in the church as I wanted to be anymore because I had, you know, job stuff. You know, I was working at Ruby Tuesday, you know, fantastic, you know, and look, you know, Ruby Tuesday, they got this awesome buffalo chicken sandwich, still love it, it's just great. So, you know, it wasn't all bad, right? But in general, like, I wasn't, like, satisfied because I knew I wasn't really fulfilling my purpose. And so, finally, after several months, the dean of the Bible school, he goes, hey, there's a Bible college in Haiti, and they need someone to come down there and to help teach in the Bible college. And I said, great, I'm there. So I just, you know, quit my job, and I left, and I went to Bible school, and I taught for 6 weeks in Haiti Bible school, and it was awesome. I loved it. It was so great. But, I mean, like, for the most part, like, you know, I mean, people didn't speak English there. I had a couple translators, but for the most part, you know, most people aren't speaking English. And, you know, I'm just learning. I was just stepping out and learning to God to use me. And so I wasn't confident at all yet still. Even though I'm there in Haiti, even though I'm like starting to step out and I'm believing that God's going to use me, and I know that like signs and wonders and miracles and all this are supposed to follow me, but I didn't think that was actually going to happen, you know? And I'm like, I mean, so I'm just pretty much teaching classes again. I wasn't conducting revival services. I wasn't doing altar calls. I wasn't doing any of that. I'm just mostly teaching. So, you know, and I know sometimes like, you know, when you're teaching like the anointing falls or whatever, but for the most part, I wasn't doing like hands-on ministry, praying for people or anything like that. You know, go out with the people occasionally when they let me leave the compound to go soul winning. You know, when you're in Haiti and all they like, look, I had to explain like, you know, why the mosquitoes were biting me so much because My arms, my legs, they were ravaged by mosquitoes. And I understood why. I'm like, look, these mosquitoes, all they see is dark meat. Now they see some white meat, and they're like, let's try something different. You know, so like, I mean, you're, you know, you're one white, scrawny little white kid amidst, like, you know, I was the only white guy there, except for some missionaries that came down to, I wish I could say the missionaries came down to preach the gospel, but the missionaries came down to help people with their dental problems. They came to the church and they had like these missionary dentists that were there helping people with their teeth. And it would be one thing if they were like, hey, I'm going to help you with your teeth, and while I'm doing that to you, I'm going to preach the gospel to you, but no, we're just going to take care of your teeth. And we were joking about this the other night, but it's like, great, you're going to hell with clean teeth. Awesome. You know what I mean? Like, fantastic. Great job, guys. But so anyway, like, I'm in Haiti, and like the ministry experience that I got there was awesome. Like, I started to be able to teach the Word of God, and I love teaching the Word of God, but I still didn't really see. In the 6 weeks that I was there, I grew a lot personally, but I didn't really, no one spoke English, so the whole time I'm listening to Kenneth Hagin, I'm listening to Pastor Rodney, and I'm reading my Bible. That's pretty much all I did for like 6 weeks. So I came back on cloud nine, and but I didn't really experience like the extent of like praying for people, seeing miracles. I didn't pray for people and they fell out. I don't know if it was because I was the only, I'm like a little white 8 or 20-year-old kid or whatever in Haiti. Like, maybe they just had a hard time receiving from me. I don't know. But nothing like crazy happened. So I'm still questioning like whether the Lord can actually use me the way that he says, like, in that the believers are to go out, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. See, I see Pastor Rodney week after week, like, he lays hands on somebody on them, they're going down. He prays for people and like crazy stuff happens, and I'm like, well, that's not really happening for me yet. And so even though I've gone through Bible school, I've gone to Haiti now, and I'm like you would think that like once you go to Bible school that's all you need and you're ready to like, you know, take on the world for the gospel, and what's really imparted to you is true. That is all you need, because it's not the understanding knowledge that you, it's not the knowledge that you need, it's the heart impartation that you need. And that's what will actually change people's lives, is that when your life gets changed, you get filled with that power. But it's not just the mental understanding of everything. And too many times people are trying to get like a mental understanding of every facet of the gospel before they feel qualified to go out and minister. To an extent, I was there, even after going through Bible school. And so anyway, went back to the church in Tampa after leaving Haiti. Was there for one Sunday, and I had already booked a flight to go back home for Thanksgiving. And when I came back home, I don't remember if I had arranged it beforehand or not, but the church that I grew up in had asked if I would preach that Sunday. And I was like, sure, I would love to. And so that Sunday, I'm still totally green in the ministry, still no clue really what I'm doing, but I just took some simple texts and explained, and I don't remember exactly the message. I remember just sharing about my hunger for the things of God and about being filled with the Holy Spirit and how God wants to touch you and change your life. I did an altar call there at the church, and I think I was 21 at this point. And to my surprise, in this very formal Pentecostal churches, you see there's degrees of Pentecostal, There's Pentecostal where everybody comes in hungry, expecting God to move, and you fall on the floor, and you laugh, and you cry, and you run around the room. And then there's Pentecostal where they in theory do that, but in actuality it never happens. It's like, we're okay if God wants to do that, but it's probably not going to happen, sort of thing. And that's kind of the way it was there. It was like, nobody's really like actually pressing into the things of God. And so I do this altar call, and like I said, to my surprise, like at least 15 people came forward, and I'm like, holy smokes, now I'm actually going to have to pray for these people. What are we going to do, of course I didn't tell them that. I'm confident, all right, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever, but like your mind is just like, oh crap, see, you don't have to live, and that'll actually help you when you minister. Because your mind might be saying, oh crap, but what's here is what matters, right? Because your mind will be like, you're so stupid, you're going to fail. But your heart is saying, these people need a touch from heaven. They need Jesus. And so I just started, you know, doing what I saw Pastor Rodney doing, just going, praying for people, laying hands on them. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, whatever the need is, you'll be, have that. Whatever, you know, just not like prophesying for people. No words of knowledge, no words of wisdom. And to my utter amazement, people began getting filled with the Holy Spirit. People, as I was praying for them, start crying. People, as I'm praying, one guy just starts ridiculously laughing. And I'm telling you, this is not like one of those churches where that's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to laugh in church. And he just, and I didn't do anything. I didn't say, Lord, fill him with joy. And then he doesn't laugh. And I'm like, no, start laughing, buddy. Like, I didn't tell him to laugh. Like, it was just like, it was just like, the Lord touched him and he started laughing. I pray for another lady and she hits the deck and starts crying. And I'm like, this is just like ridiculous. The Lord actually can use me. And that should help you too, because it shows you that you don't really need to know what you're doing. You don't really need, you know, it's not like my bachelor's degree in theology did that for me. There's too many people out there with bachelor's, with PhDs. You know what Brother Hagin used to say a PhD stand for? Posthole digger, you know, and that, you know, you got too many doctors and PhDs and masters of theology or divinity and like scholars that could tear this Bible backwards and forwards and be able to go through scriptures, but have, they're nothing but just dry dead man's bone on the inside. You know, God needs people that aren't like, yeah, I need to understand every word of the Bible. Look, as you do, that's where we build our faith. And you guys hear me Sunday after Sunday talk about building our faith based on the word. I'm not taking away from that, all right? But what you need is this encounter with God, because that's when you go to lay hands on somebody, what's going to make the difference. Amen? And now this is kind of where I wanted to get to, is like, great, I now have this revelation that God is going to use me, that it's actually possible. And so from there, I go on to start preaching mass crusade evangelism in Africa. Hundreds of thousands of people are coming to hear me and see me. You know, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown calls me and says, hey, Apostle Jeremiah, I want you to come preach in my church. You know, just the anointing on you is so strong, yada, yada, yada. You know, I'm getting invitations. No, that didn't happen. I wish that I could say that that's what happened, but it didn't happen that way. And this is why I'm telling you that there's only one direction to move with God, and that's forward, because as soon as you take a step back, you start sliding backwards. And so that's unfortunately what began to happen to me, is I had this ministry experience where I'm like, man, Jesus touched all those people, and I should have just kept on preaching. I should have been like, wow, God can use me. I mean, let's just preach wherever I can, start a church, do what God called me to do. I knew that God had told me to start the church here, but I didn't. Why? Because I was like, well, you know, I don't have another preaching engagement. I don't really know how to start a ministry or whatever. I'm not married yet, which, whatever, I mean, shouldn't matter anyway. But, you know, I don't really know what to do. So what am I going to do? I'll do what I always did, and I'll get a job. And I got a job, and I started working. And because I'm, you know, working all the time, I'm not investing my heart into hearing from the Word of God. I'm not investing my time into like pressing into what's next, God, where are you going to have me go? And look, you might actually supposed to work a job. I'm not telling you that every single person has to do this where you quit your job and start ministry. I'm not telling you that, but you need to know that you're doing what God wants you to do. And I wasn't. And that's the problem, is when you're not in the will of God, when you're not pressing towards the mark, when you're not pressing forward, that's when you start to go backwards. And I wish that I could say that just because we all sat through Encounter Conference this week, that things are going to get easy and things are going to like start to work out. And just because you went soul winning yesterday, that everything's just going to be peachy. But honestly, the more that you press into God, the more resistance starts to come. I can list probably every conference that we've done here that some crazy situation arises in our family that tries to distract us. You know, there was no difference this week. You know, it was like Tuesday or Wednesday of the conference. You know, we get a call from our family, and I won't go into all the details, but crazy stuff starts happening. wants to pull all your attention. You know, don't think about the conference, don't think about service tonight and the lives that need Jesus preached to them. Think about this. Last conference, it was like her side of the family. Crazy stuff like drama starts wanting to pull us in. Every time that you start pressing into God, crazy stuff will start. It starts to happen. Why does that happen? It's not because God's sending it to you. It's because the devil doesn't want you to advance the kingdom of God. The devil wants you to pull back. The devil wants to slow you down. The devil wants to trip you up. And for me, like, I didn't keep pressing towards the mark. I knew that the mark was there. I saw that God could actually use me, but I stopped pressing. And sometimes it happens slowly, maybe over a course of like a few weeks or a few months. And like, you know, maybe I thought like, well, you know, I'll just work this job for a little bit and then something else will open up. I wasn't like thinking to myself, I'm giving up on ministry here. But as I didn't press forward with what God had mandated me to do, I began to slide backwards. You know, I started doing meth. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do any drugs. You know, I didn't visit, you know, whatever. All right. I'll stop there. Okay. You get it. But you know, I just wasn't moving forward anymore and eventually grew to a point where like my relationship with God had grown cold. Here I am, stuffed full of knowledge of the Word of God, and I've had many encounters in my life where Jesus had touched me radically. You know those conferences, every single service, Sunday morning through Sunday night, the following Sunday, morning, night, every single service, I'm there pressing in. And I had an experience many times where Pastor Rodney prayed for me and like the power of God shook me. But it didn't stop me from just letting the enemy come in and rob me in my mind. So I was supposed to move. I told Pastor Rodney when I left Tampa that I'm moving back up here and I'm starting a church. But as you know, we started our church in 2014. I moved up here in 2011. So for over 3 years, I wasn't doing what God fulfilled me to do. And thankfully, I got my act together. Thankfully, it was because God sent me this wonderful, beautiful wife sitting here that gave me the kick in the pants that I needed. And so, you know, God gives you a wife or a husband if you're a lady, someone that'll actually help you fulfill the call of God on your life. And that's what I got. And so I finally got the motivation that I need to deal with this, you know, junk that's in my life, the stuff that's holding me back, because all it was offense. And the way, you know, I've shared my testimony on how I got offended and how God delivered me from the offense. But, you know, offense comes in a way that it's not just like, hey, I'm the devil and I'm here to trip you up and mess with your life. But it just comes with thoughts towards like, yeah, why didn't that ministry treat me better? It comes with thoughts like, why didn't my pastor see the call of God on my life? Why didn't, you know, these kind of thoughts that are somewhat appearingly innocent, but are nothing less than the attack of Satan on your life to stop you from pursuing God. You know, the devil knows where he can try to mess with you. He understood that he couldn't trip me up with meth and going to a whorehouse or whatever. That's not like, you know, that's not a temptation for me. But he knew exactly how to attack me and starts planting thoughts of being ungrateful for, you know, that ministry of not promoting me like they should have. Who am I? You know, who was I? I was just a little squirt coming out of Bible school that didn't know a thing about anything. But, you know, as Bible school students do, they think they know everything, you know? And that was me, a little turd coming out of Bible school that think I knew better and like what everybody else is supposed to do. And how can't they see my apostleship on my life? You know what I mean? Ridiculous stuff. And then the devil like starts, you know, he pulls on those strings and ended up pulling me out of the call of God in my life for like 3 years. But for many people, they have that happen and they're gone way longer than 3 years. Or maybe they're still gone and never come back. The point is that you can never stop pressing. I, you know, who knows how far along our church would be today if I'd actually done what I said I was going to do back when I said I was going to do it. I'm happy with what we have today and what the Lord is doing here, but who knows where we could be today? We might already be in the new building. We might already have a much greater attendance. We might already have nice carpet. comfortable chairs. You see, you think that when you're, you know, just doing your thing, that it just impacts you. But it doesn't. It impacts all the people that God has called you to impact. You know, so you can't ever just be selfish with your life and think like, well, you know, if I don't tell people about Jesus, or if I don't tithe, or if I don't help in the ministry of helps, or if I don't do that, you know, that's just between me and the Lord, and that's my thing. It's so selfish to think that way. And that's why I was sharing earlier that when you put the kingdom of God first, then he will add all these things to you. He's looking for somebody that'll say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, even if it's showing up to be an usher and hand out envelopes or greet people as they come in and showing up on time and doing it with a spirit of excellence, taking charge over and saying, yeah, I might be an usher right now, but I'm going to be the best usher this church has ever seen. Or I'm going to have the most ridiculous smile on my face as I greet people coming in, even when I don't feel like it, because faith doesn't operate by feelings. You know, if I operated by feelings, every time we did an altar call, I'd be like, all right, well, you guys are out of luck. You know, I don't really feel that spiritual right now. Go sit back down. But faith doesn't operate by feelings. So why do we? Why do we try to, like, think that, like, well, I don't feel like it today? How many people came this week to Encounter Conference that aren't here this morning because they didn't feel like it? How many people that come to church Sunday after Sunday don't come to Encounter Conference because they don't feel like it? We shouldn't go by our feelings. You see, that's what Paul said. He said, I set my mind on things above. I set my mind on heavenly things. And he said, and in another scripture, he says, everything else, I count it all as loss. We have to come to the place of where everything else is counted as loss, save or except for Jesus Christ. Save or accept for the kingdom of God and my relationship with Jesus. That's what should count. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to Encounter Conference. We come because we're in love with Jesus. We come because we want more of him. We come because we know that this world is missing something and we have it. And the more I get of it, the bolder I get with it. Amen? Amen. So we set our sights on God. We press towards the mark. We don't allow things to distract us. And you know, after an Encounter Conference, don't just think that, great, I experienced the presence of the Lord this week. I received a touch. So now the devil's finally going to leave me alone. Bad thoughts will stop coming against me. You know, like everything's just going to be perfect. No, you have to press forward. You have to see the kingdom of God advance. You have to advance the kingdom of God in your own life. You have to say, I'm putting a stake in the ground that I'll never back off of. I'm marking this week as the week where my life changed, and I'm never going to back off of it. You know, you went soul winning yesterday. Well, become a soul winner. Don't just say, well, that was a great experience and I'm so glad that I got to do that. No, make it say, I am a soul winner. This is part of my life now. I tell people about Jesus. I am a tither. I don't tithe. I am a tither. You see what I mean? I own that. Own what God has called you to have. Don't make it something that because it was preached to me, I'm going to do it. Like, you know, like a little kid, when mommy tells them you have to go do that, they go do that, but they really didn't want to do it. They're just doing that because they're being forced to. Don't show up to church on Sunday because you are forced to. Own it. Say, no, I go to church on Sundays. I go to church when the church doors are open. I serve my church with a spirit of excellence. I operate in wisdom. You know, own it. Make it mine. Have your mindset on the things from above, kingdom things. What does Jesus want me to do with my life? Figure that out and then own that. This is who God has called me to be. And if he's called me to be it, well, then I'm going to be the best at it that I can possibly be. Amen? Amen. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't let this week be one of those weeks where it was like, oh, that was just like a great week, and then like back to usual. Back to just like doing our own thing. Back to just, you know, well, you know, it's just going to be another week of work and another week of, you know, television, another week of just filling our time with meaningless nothingness. No, make it a week that says, this is the week that my life changed. I'm going to press towards the mark. I'm going to make a difference for eternity. When I show up to heaven, I will have treasure. I will have treasure and I will have souls with me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that this week you've begun a great work in our hearts. I thank you that you've done powerful things this week, that you've touched many hearts and lives, that you've raised us up, that you've challenged us to grow. Grow in the things of in the things of God, in power and in wisdom, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've done amazing things here. But God, we're not leaving this week in the past as just like a great week that we had, but we're letting this be a week that's starting us off with a new hunger and a new zeal to pursue you like we've never pursued you before in our lives. We'll never turn back. We'll never go backwards, but we're going to move forward. Just as Paul said, we're going to press towards the mark, the goal of the heavenly prize. God, we thank you for everything that you've done this week, but now we press on. We press on. We move forward. We're seeking your kingdom first. We're seeking your kingdom first. We're soul winners. We're people that go out and tell people about Jesus. We're tithers and we're givers. We're radical givers that give generously even when it doesn't make sense. We're people that walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by emotion, but we walk by faith and we walk by your word. God, we're people that won't back down. That no matter what comes our way, we're going to press on and we're going to press forward. I declare this over this church in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.